This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
What seems like 105 years ago at this point, I was dating a young man who sent me a dozen red roses, and it had a card, and the card said, "I want you, I need you, I love you, your friend from New Jersey." I don't remember why he sent me these flowers. Maybe we'd gotten in a fight. I no recall, but they show up at my apartment on the same day that another young man that I was interested in was coming over, and I completely panicked because my apartment wasn't that big and there really wasn't any place to hide these beautiful flowers. But luckily, my very good friend, who happened to be from New Jersey, was coming over right after the flowers arrived, and he was headed out on a date. And I was like, please, please take these flowers, give them to your date. And look, you don't even need to write a new card. Look, I want you. I need you. I love you. Your friend from New Jersey. It's like globally applicable to anybody from New Jersey. Cut to many, many, many years later. I am honored to have this fine friend as my very first guest on my very first episode of the very first Speaking of Events. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone, the pride of Paramus, New Jersey, and a stalwart of global creative events, is my first guest. Please welcome my friend, my confidant, and my favorite wedding date, by the way, founder and chief creative from Proscenium Events, Chuck Santoro.
Oh, Carrie Garbus. I remember when you were Carrie Jill Garbus. We've known each other so long. And ironically, we're filming this and I am in New Jersey. Yes, I am not in New York City right now. I'm actually, since the COVID times, been spending time in New Jersey. So yes, and I have been your wedding date many times. And if you didn't get married, probably would have, and I was at your wedding, I would have probably been your wedding date many more times, but now you have a husband, so you don't need
not true. And technically, I consider you my date to my own wedding.
Oh, that's so nice. Did you tell your husband that?
I did. He's fine with it. He's fine.
You know what? I've always liked him ever since the day I met him. Boy Scout and all.
Yes, exactly. Well, here we are, the very first podcast. We're supposed to be speaking of events, so we should probably get to events. And I think the first very clear, obvious question, because we've known each other for 5,000 years. We went to college, for those who don't know.
For those who don't know the backstory and are interested.
We went to college together. We were at Syracuse University Drama Department together. We've had all these other adventures together. I worked for you at FAO.
Right.
We've gone to like 6,000 weddings. We are very good wedding guests. And yeah, still,
we're great wedding guests and we're brilliant socially.
Yes.
Didn't someone say we were brilliant socially?
So speaking of events, if you're like private or any large event, small, if you think it's going to be a dud, invite Chuck and I. Invite us because we are going to be fantastic.
We could raise the bar. I was told yesterday I'm being put at the far end of a very fancy dinner because I could take care of myself and I can enliven that side of the room. I was told that last night.
That is beautiful. I would take that as a high compliment. I too have been at like, we're putting you at the crappy table because you can talk to anybody.
True. And we're the same that way.
Yes.
And then when you get both of us at the table, forget about it.
Forget about it. It's a party. All right. So as the founder, chief creative for Proscenium, my first obvious question is, who do you think is going to listen to this podcast other than my dad?
My mom.
Oh, yay, Sylvia. Okay.
Sylvia loves you. Sylvia's a big fan. So Sylvia traveled to go see you do Evita. Remember, then we had an Evita party when you were doing Evita somewhere and had the after party at my house.
Yes, she made me a tuna melt. I was starving.
I think our friends from T-Mobile will also listen. We have a common bond with our friends from T-Mobile, clients for both of us in different ways. So yes. I think there's some people that might be interested.
I think so.
And maybe some girl from Syracuse.
It's right. It's all our friends from SU. Right. And this is for event professionals. I wanted to create a platform for not only for you and I just to speak publicly and have it documented,
right.
Also for people that the event people. I love event people. I love that Ovation can be part of events. And speaking of events, Chuck.
Speaking of events.
What is, I like how your pause in it. That's
speaking
really nice.
Of events.
Yes, so thoughtful.
Ooh.
All right, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events? What is it?
They take a lot of planning to be done well. I just had this conversation with someone recently. It's not like, oh, we could just, it just magically appears. The pre-planning on an event, especially lately with more and more roadblocks being thrown our way in the current environment, take a while to plan. It just doesn't happen overnight.
Could it happen overnight?
Not my company. We're not, you know, we'll turn that RFP down. We don't want to do the overnight 24-hour shark, like let's do an event that, no.
Right. So what makes it, what's the most challenging? I know there's a lot of moving parts and I often come in at the, you know, Ovation is like the actor of an event. Like we come in at the very end and we're like, okay, let's make everybody look good. So what is the hardest part of the planning?
God, what's that? I mean, right now, for example, it's like with everything else going on in the world, so many events have been pushed, right? And everyone is clamoring for the same time right now.
Oh, yeah.
So space is at a premium. So right now it's about where you're going to do your event, how many people, and some, for some clients is what they're like, what's, how many can I get the maximum in a, you know, there's all these things that we need that data in order to find out what is the right location. And then once we even got the location and how big the room is and where we're going to be, you know, what is our message? Like, what are we trying to tell these people? Especially when they haven't met necessarily live in, you know, a few years. And I think that's the other big challenge that's been recently is, you know, we kind of pivoted to virtual events for a while in 2020 and a lot of 21. But now as we're kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, how, you know, what is that experience going to be like for those who are there? And then what kind of experience are we going to be offering to those who are still Zooming in from home, and not Zooming in because we don't like to do a Zoom event either, but you know, kind of witnessing and experiencing the event at their home.
Is it truly, so are you essentially now producing two events, the in-person and the virtual often?
That is a great question.
It's Carrie. My first podcast too.
Speaking of events, no, it's a great question. And it's interesting right now because like I had a client last year who said at the beginning of the planning process, they're like, you know, we want to spend 80% of the budget on the virtual event and 20%, not as many people are going to come. And the total opposite happened. They opened registration and everyone wanted to come to Arizona. Everybody wanted to come. So we kind of switched the allocation and really, you know, the virtual experience wasn't as robust as what we would have done in 2020. So I think that the challenge is, you know, to do a great virtual event, and we saw some amazing ones in 2020. We were fortunate to work with Qualcomm and do this highly interactive platform, custom-built platform that Forbes magazine said was one of the most innovative platforms they had seen all year. Thank you. But like that was a very elaborate system. That was in 2020. But now, you know, think about in 2019, we did a very elaborate live event. The challenge right now is saying to the clients, like, okay, your budget can't be, if you want that great event live and that great virtual event, those are two independent budgets unto themselves. And I think the challenge is, do you want to spend more or where are we at? And I think that's been the biggest kind of shift right now. And we don't know where this year is heading. We have some clients that are still doing some virtual. And we have some clients that are like, all right, We're going live this year, 100%. And, you know, one client also said, we don't want, the virtual event is fine, but at the end of the day, you can't replace the communication, the networking, all everything that why a live event is so important for so many businesses. So I think it's that you don't want it. Do you want to do the robust virtual? I mean, we all love, as I say, I always like a live, a house to half. The house has to go to half, like old times, Carrie Jill. You know, there's just an excitement at a live event that you just, you know, we've done a very good job with virtual. I'm very proud of the work we did, but you know, I'm looking forward to being back in a ballroom this year.
Well, we're people.
We're people. Go ahead, Carrie.
People who like people in the ballroom.
We can re-lyric that to people. We are just events. People.
Yeah, I like it.
We can redo it. Yeah. You could have been. Why were you? That would be a great role back in the day. I mean, you could, you know, you never played Fanny.
I never played Fanny. I fear I'm a little long in the tooth right now.
Now you are, but you should have back then. You should have done that. You're not, I mean, you still, I don't know, far back, maybe at an amphitheater. Anyway.
Okay, moving on. Speaking of Fanny Bryce. Does hybrid exist? Like, does a true hybrid of event exist? I talked to a lot of event professionals that are like, oh, we're going hybrid. And I'll say, great. What does that mean to you? So Chuck Santoro, what does it mean to you? And does it exist?
It's the buzzword of the year, hybrid. I mean, in my opinion, a hybrid event, you know, if you're either experiencing it, I don't think an attendee can have a hybrid event. You have to either pick a live or a virtual. I think what we've been trying to do is connect the virtual audience to the live, and we've had some success with that, you know, utilizing technology. So we can try to get the folks who are at home to feel like they're there the best we can, you know, there, but they're still not there. I think they're not, are they going to experience the same thing hearing a speaker in a room than online? You know, I think the challenge is when we're online all the time looking at a screen, how are you differentiating a Zoom call from a very, you know, well-orchestrated virtual event? You know, for some people, it's just another call, and it shouldn't be. I think you need to elevate your event in any way you can. And I think that's what I think challenged the whole industry in 2020 was figuring out virtual events. Like, we at Proscenium had done virtual events, but not to the level and the detail that we did in 21. And we all figured it out. And we were very fortunate that our clients pivoted with us. And, you know, here we are to talk about virtual events.
So, hybrid. So, I know what I wanted to ask. What are you really making fun of my gesturing? Are you potabureing?
Potabureing, because, you know, that's what you and I do.
Yes, exactly. Turn. Okay. Turn. What was the event-wise, what was the best thing that came out of the shit show that was the past couple of years?
God. Like I said before, I mean, for us, just figuring out how to do an engaging event that's not a Zoom call. I think that was the other thing. Some people were like, well, it's just a Zoom call. Not really. I mean, a Zoom call is good for the day-to-day, but to really elevate an event. So we figured out, I think the best thing was we're all kind of thrown into the fire, like, pivot to virtual events right away. And, you know, we were very fortunate, you know, it was a scary time, but we figured it out. We kept the whole team together. Nobody got let go. And now we could tell we talk about virtual. So I think the best thing was that. I also think the accessibility of speakers that you wouldn't have normally got. I mean, right when it first happened, it was like, you can get like headline entertainment for like $3.99. It was like crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, then everyone got wise to it and it was like, all right, well, I'm charging some real money. But, you know, I think there's access that you couldn't have gotten before when it comes to speakers and such. And I think also the idea of even, and I'm not even talking about headline speakers. I'm talking about everyday speakers that you always couldn't get to a location, especially when you're dealing with an international audience, and like having, you know, these thought leaders from all over the world to do a roundtable you know, we you know, and sometimes we would do kind of beam them in. We did a meeting once where we beamed in a few people. That was success. That went over well. But I think it's just so much easier now, and it's more accepted.
Yes, I agree. The accessibility in it, in terms of getting people, like, I love the fact that, you know, I speak at some events as well. And I spoke at a conference in Asia one night. And I thought that was really cool that this company had a significant audience in Asia. They never probably would have paid for me to fly there and do it. And the fact that I went downstairs, I had dinner and was like, and came up and, you know, 9 p.m.
Was someone translating you into Chinese or Japanese?
It was an American company, so they spoke English. But I wanted
to see you translate it. I would love for you to have this translator like next to you, and you're like,
Did do another event that I had a ASL person translating with me live, and that was super cool. And that's the accessibility that I got really into over the past couple of years. Is that, again, every conference I spoke at didn't have I didn't have my own ASL interpreter with me. And you know, some of the places that you've gone and done on site isn't always accessible for those who are not 100% physically abled. So the fact that so many people could consume information, or people from countries that couldn't travel in, or some sort of immune deficiency, I don't know. I got really into it. I was like, it's for the people now. So very, very exciting. Yeah, I went there. All right. How about we shift gears a bit?
Shift. Let's go down Genesee Street and shift gears.
That's for the three listeners that don't know us or didn't go to Syracuse. That's a street.
That's a street. Syracuse. We'll be throwing these little Easter eggs for those who are listening from Syracuse.
Yes, exactly. We'll see who we can get. All right. As you know, I'm a little speaker obsessed, because your gig is events. My gig is speakers.
But we can work seamlessly together, Carrie. That is a dream and a goal of us working together, that a client will hire Proscenium to produce the event and bring in you to coach. I mean, I coach my speakers, but I don't have the level of detail. I usually have somebody that you could bring to the table. I mean, what a match made in heaven. Anyone out there, hire us together. You get value, big fun, big laughs, big results.
Right. Or go to one of Chuck's competitors that already uses Ovation. So we'll see. No, just kidding. I'm kidding. These are the jokes.
Not funny.
Okay.
Okay, go.
Do you have a speaker disaster story that you're willing to share with me and my dad who's listening?
Yes. So, yes. Well, and this also goes back to, you guys, please rehearse. Please rehearse. So this is a good story. Okay. We're doing an event, and there was a client who was very controlling, and she was, you know, she wanted to keep all the information, and she was not very collaborative. And we kept saying to that we wanted to rehearse with the speaker, the executive. And she's like, no, we can't. I know what we're doing. And she wanted to also advance all the slides. We're like, well, if we rehearsed with him, it'll all go get better and better. And she's like, no, I know exactly what we're doing. I'm gonna advance the slides. I'm rehearsing with him alone. You shouldn't rehearse with him. Like, she was so uncollaborative. We never got to meet the executive until like the morning of. She said she rehearsed him offline, although he seemed lovely and would have rehearsed, but we weren't allowed to ask him. We weren't allowed to talk to him or anything. She controlled everything. So I'll never forget this. We're in the show, and he's, you know, clicking his little advance, and he's doing his speech, and she's in the back, you know, with my team, and the person that normally does, you know, she's taken over advancing the slides, and she's trying to do all this, and he's clicking, and he clicked, and you could see in his face, he got confused, and he didn't know where he was, and he's like, can we go back? And she got like so flustered. And she just kept punching, and then she went back too much. And then she went ahead, and she, like, we were just watching this, and it was not my team. It was like her train wreck, and we felt bad for him. And she kept like going crazy. And literally she then just, I'll never forget, she was wearing a red dress. She just stood up, put up her hands, and said, pause.
Oh.
That's it. Pause. I was like, wait, is this like we're like watching a TV? Like she just paused.
Was she commanding the world? Was that what she was hoping?
In the back of the room, she yelled, pause. The guy, the poor executive on stage was like, pause. All the audience turned back. My whole team looked at, she looked at her. She goes, I just need a minute. And she's trying to figure out where she is. She goes, pause. So it wasn't even the speaker disaster. It was a disaster because of our main client who wouldn't let us do our job and help them. She stood up and yelled, pause. And honestly, we've never done like this as a client. It was so awful afterwards when they talked about, you know, where we said, you know what, we didn't want to work with them again. And it wasn't really, it was her and how she was also, we felt awful. Like we could not help this executive who seemed lovely, but we didn't get to meet him until morning up. So pause story.
Pause. Lovely. Terrifying.
Terrifying.
So I was going to ask you, what's the number one thing you wish speakers did? But I think I know what it is. And I think I'm going to be more in love with you than
rehearse,
I am.
Rehearse. It, you know, and listen, for you and I coming from the theater background, it's the same thing. It's like, you don't give, and I say this, like when you rehearse a play, you know, and sometimes, you know, you don't have as much summer stock, which you and I did, you get a week.
Yeah.
You know, on the Broadway, you get a little more time. But regardless, you rehearse. You are stepping on a stage, putting your best face in front of sometimes your most important audiences. That's the other thing that I love about my job is some of these events happen once a year. One I'm working on right now is every 4 years. It's one of my favorite events. It's highly complicated and I love it. Why do I love it? Because I see these executives take it seriously and they want to rehearse because they know this is their moment in front of their audience. I mean, I saw there's one executive who I've just seen grow and he's an amazing leader and it's been amazing seeing him grow to where he is now. And he even said, I remember the meeting he was at and he delivered this speech. And I remember working with him one-on-one because I also do speech coaching. And really he just excelled and like got this huge promotion from, and he even said, he goes, that was the turning point. So I think there's these moments where we get to really work with people and it really affects their careers. And it's, I love it, but they rehearse. And if they don't rehearse, you know, and listen, some people just go on their pure energy and enthusiasm and charisma, but you know, there's a lot more, it's not just about you, the speaker. It's about, you know, there's visuals, there's lighting, there's cues, you know, it's about everybody. So everyone feels comfortable to make you, the presenter, even better at their presentation.
I love it. I mean, you're singing my song.
Ladies sing in their song. Isn't that from a musical called Baby starring Carrie Jo Garbus in 1990 at Syracuse University?
It is. In fact, I have a picture from it right over here.
For those who didn't see the production.
In my office.
Oh my God.
Can you see this?
Oh my God. Look at us. We are young.
You and I in rehearsal. Chuck was the director. Can you see it? I took down my self view, so I can't see.
I love that. I mean, Carrie.
Oh, and this is us at.
That's us at Busch Gardens when I was performing at Busch Gardens, and you came to visit me, and we were stomping grapes in the fake Italy section.
Yes, I love that. That was fun.
Good times. Okay, so that's that question.
Okay, that was pretty good. I loved it.
I'm glad.
Oh, you were talking about Arizona before.
Speaking of Arizona, didn't you and I stumble upon each other in Arizona when you were on a random trip?
By stumble upon each other, you mean was like, wait, you're going to be in Arizona next week? I'm going to be in Arizona. Where are you going to be? And we were at resorts that were like across the mountain. Like it wasn't very far. I took an Uber or something over there.
Yeah, and then we had a lovely dinner.
We did. We had a lovely dinner. I was there. I was speaking at an event and you were there on your birthday party trip.
Liz and Casey.
Yeah, you were meeting up with Liz and Casey.
We're doing our annual, which we haven't done in a while. We need to do our best men trip. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
So location, location, location. What's your favorite or what's your least favorite and why?
Location?
Yeah.
Huh. That's an interesting one. I mean, location.
Or does it matter?
It doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, that's why I'm like, hey. I mean, listen, I'm about, you know, I want to be, although I'm the creative guy, I want to be a good partner with my production partner. It's about like a good room for the attendees. Like, you know, the Marriott World Center is the largest columnist ballroom in North America, or so they claim.
Right, right.
And there's something about like, I don't have to deal with the columns. It's easy load in. It's really less on me. And I don't think a presenter cares. I want to make sure it's a nice experience for the attendees. So there are some, listen, if I'm building a perfect area, I don't want our attendees to get confused. Some locations are like six levels. If the breakout's on one floor, the keynote's on the other, and you need wayfaring and all this stuff. I mean, I'd rather it just easy for them. I think for me and my job, I think it doesn't matter. I just want to make sure it's easy for the attendees and easy for production. I don't think we have a say at the, I mean, whatever, whatever's easy for them, I'm happy with. I just don't want, like, I just was on a call earlier today and it was like, it's 24 foot ceilings and I really need 30 foot. So my set design, I'm going to have to alter probably a little bit, but I want to keep the content the same, which I could do because I don't want to rebuild the content, but I'm just going to have to make the deck, the stage a little smaller. So I talk about ceiling heights, but I don't mind much. I'll make it work.
So who are events for?
Who are events for? What do you mean? Like the different attendees?
When you think about it, like what's your super objective, Chuck? Right?
My super objective is to move the audience to feel, think, or act differently when they exit the meeting. How's that?
So that is fabulous. So it's for the events or for the audience. It's not for the stakeholders. It's not for the speakers, it's for the audience.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we're about moving the audience. Like, you know, I mean, I think the speakers are going to get something out of it, and in moving the audience, they're getting something out of it. Sure. So it's going to be effective them. They're not hiring us because they just want to be on stage. They're hiring us to move their audience. Do they want them to sell more? Do they want them to be motivated? Did they want them to act differently or not? And I think that's why I always go back to, like, what is the story you're trying to tell? I say, what are your attendees? What are they going to be thinking about on the plane ride home? What do you want them to be thinking about? Let's go to the end and then figure out the beginning.
Oh, I love it. Love it. You're good at this.
You know what, Carrie Jill?
That's a good smoke. Before we change gears, just one more time.
Let's go down Cazenovia Boulevard.
That's right. Meet me on M Street. Okay. What is there anything else you want to say about events? Have we talked to death? Is challenges, like any last nugget of Santoro goodness you want to throw at me before we change gears a little bit?
Have good crew food.
Yes.
You're there a long time, you know, flat meat. Can't do flat meat every day. Inspired flat crew food. It's true. It's like after a while, it's like
you want a hot lunch.
Long days, and it's nice to have nice crew food. So thank you for good crew food. There's some of my freelancers that actually preferred certain clients over others because they knew the food was top notch.
Yeah, I get that. I love food. You know it. All right.
No names, but just saying. Go ahead. Next question.
All right, so we're rolling it back just a bit. Right back. Take it back. Take it back. Take it back. Move your shoulders. Shoulder roll. Very good. Okay.
Joey, so, that's for you.
Yes, Joey. Ooh, Joey. Okay. Here we are. We've graduated. Well, you've graduated. You're older than me. You've graduated for just 2 years. Just 2 years. And really, it's more like 1 year, but two grades.
Correct.
Because, you must have started kindergarten when you were four.
I know. Call my mother.
I will. You know I will. Okay. So you're at SU, Syracuse University graduation. Go to New York, but you're living in New Jersey. You're in Tony and Tina's. We go to like 17 weddings together. Most of them have gotten remarried at this point.
You don't want to talk about that. But yes, you're right.
You meet all my ex-boyfriends, and you liked, I think, all of them, except for the one, remember there was one that was jealous of you?
Totally. And you know, that's happened before. You're not alone where men have been jealous of my relationship with my ladies.
it's weird, but should have been a red flag anyway.
Should have been a red flag, and that's why we love your husband, because he loves your friends.
Super chill. Okay, so we did all that, and now here you are, head founder and chief creative.
Chief, I have to wear a hat. I'm a chief.
How did you get here? Give it to me.
How did I end up here, Meg Weldon?
Oh yeah.
She was wearing green. That was a cabaret, Syracuse After Hours Cabaret. Anyway, contemporary.
Sutton Pavilion.
Thank you. Okay. How did I end up here? Quickly, I was an actor for a long time. Went from acting to directing all the time. I was the toy soldier at FAO Schwarz. I hired Carrie to be Muffy Vanderbear at the opening of FAO Baby. True story. And then did their events at FAO. And a friend of mine, who is the head of PR, applied for a job at a event company called Jack Morton Worldwide. And he applied, and in the interview, he said, "I'm not right for this job, but I know who is." Like in the interview, he's like, "I'm not right for this job." And I guess they were asking about theater and directing and pop culture and music. And my friend Alan was like, "This isn't me, this is Chuck." And I didn't even have a resume because I was at FAO for so long. I started as a toy soldier. I fit the suit and worked my way up to executive with the company. Crazy. So I applied. I put a resume together that night, applied, got a call the next day. Three interviews later, got the job. So I started there as a creative director, worked my way up from that company, then went to a competitor where I was for a few years leading the creative group of the East Coast, and that, which is now defunct, and decided, and that's why we all left, because it was subpar, but amazing people. And a lot of those amazing people kind of scattered all over the place, like the Jedi. Possibly they all inform their own little groups. And I was fortunate enough, a bunch of us decided to start Proscenium. We're now 11. Crazy, we're gonna turn 11 this year. So a bunch of us just started folding tables in a dream, and a C-3PO, which is true. I brought my C-3PO because I didn't know where, I couldn't fit in my apartment. And
it's so cool, looks
great.
Through
the office, and now we are at 26 full-time. Based in New York, but a lot of remote, obviously, right now. And we're doing very well. We're very fortunate for the team we've kind of assembled. I love the people I work with, and really fortunate for the clients that I also, you know, consider friends.
Yes. And I've met a lot of your company, and they are everything you say. They are wonderful and warm and smart and funny. And what's happening today at Proscenium? Like, what's going on? You're working on the big 4-year event.
I'm working on a big, huge, it's actually a 6-city tour that is pretty massive.
Let's hear it for the Rainbow Tour. It's the Rainbow Tour. 6-city tour,
So, and that is a huge meeting, that a 2-day meeting, you know, thousands of people. One of our locations is 5,500 people. Oof. So we're looking for a space. I had a call about that today. So, but while we're doing that, we're also doing some major incentive trips. We do an incentive trip every year in Hawaii, which we are in a new venue this year, which is, you know, good for us, challenging, some challenges. and also we're doing a big event in Miami that ends with so that's all incentive work. And then in addition to that, there's some meetings that we're already starting to plan for 2023 in Orlando. Somewhere else. Yeah, so we're moving and grooving. We're doing a big upfront in May. I'm not doing it, but the team is. So it's actually pretty exciting. We're doing two huge events in Javits. While one show is on, the other one's loading in. So we're pretty stoked that, like, all of Proscenium, two different teams doing two huge events in Javits on the same week.
Wow, that's cool.
So we're busy. We are full throttle. We just hired someone else in production, which is exciting. I hired some more folks on the creative team this year. Our design, you know, I think you know this, Carrie Jill. We have an in-house design team, a content studio of our own, with 3D animators made up of a really great group. So we do all of that in-house. So we hired some more designers, a new junior designer recently. So yeah, we are expanding. So yeah, anyone interested, we're, you know, specifically on the production side, looking for some new friends, new people.
Yeah.
Please feel free. Go to proscenium.com and apply.
Yes. What a lovely boss. I can speak from experience. You have actually been my boss.
I have been your boss, which is
yes.
crazy. Well, it's also crazy. I mean, you know the way I feel about you, but like the fact that you and I like found these worlds, you know, two lonely actors, you know, you did your Evita tour forever. I did my crazy interactive Italian off-Broadway extravaganza for years. And, you know, it's really cool that we found this world, I think, using our, and I've said this about you behind your back, and because people are like, you know, when they talk about degrees and, you know, I went to college for theater and I got nothing out of it. I do feel that you and I specifically took our theater degrees and used them in a totally different way and, you know, have successful careers on our own, even though we're not performing, we are performing, if you know what I mean.
We are performing.
So I think that's really cool. And I actually have said, you know, going back to Syracuse, I think it's important for people to know that you could take a theater degree and use it in so many different ways in addition to performing. I mean, I think where we are now, I don't know if we'd be if it wasn't for our theater training. Probably not.
Oh, I don't think so. I agree.
You would have been an appellate judge like Marvin.
Federal. He was federal.
I know. He's federal. He's the big guy. He's yes. DC. You're bringing Judge Garbus's daughter to my wedding. I forget Marvin Garbus.
Yes, Marvin.
Yeah, and I would have been an insurance agent. No, I wouldn't have been. I would have been awful. I tried it once to be with my
Oh, I can't even imagine.
I was awful. I'm all about admitting when you're good and when you're not. I was an awful insurance agent. Although now I have to say, again, trying to be positive, the little bit of I learned from my father in insurance is helpful because now we're working with Liberty Mutual. So all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, I understand how the agents work. I understand about independent. Like,
yes.
They were like, how do you know that? I was like, Sandell Insurance, Rochelle Park, New Jersey in the 80s.
Yes. Nothing better and no bigger hair.
No bigger hair. Well, you held your own for Maryland.
Oh yeah. I still have big hair.
And it's natural. Look at this. Curly yeah. and lush yeah. it.
Oof. Okay.
And not gray at all.
Amazing. I mean, I got tools. I got things.
It's all right. You look great. Like $1 million.
Thanks. All right.
What's next?
Speaking of $1 million.
What is the underscore that's going to be under us? I hope you have.
I don't know. I cannot wait. I don't know.
I need good music. I want to know what this music's like. I actually, with our podcast, Proscenium has a podcast, and Carrie was actually our first guest.
So she knows that. I said it's apropos because I was the first guest on your
Carrie did a great job on our first podcast, but and that was a whole thing. Like, what is the music? What do we want it to sound like? What is that? So I can't wait to see the speaking of events patter.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, Joey, this is you're gonna have to use your skills on this one.
Joey.
Chuck, my friend. Mm-hmm. I've got a surprise event for you. Speaking of events. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a lightning round of questions.
Lightning round. Oh, I hope sound effects, Joey. I need sound effects.
Joey, you gotta add some sort of sound effects. Time it, but not really. So lightning round, Joey, 45 seconds on the clock. And don't you think we need some sort of like something or like some sort of like beep, 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 and it gets louder and louder and louder.
That could be annoying.
What do you think? Okay. We've got lightning questions. Are you ready?
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a down. It could be like a chicka 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 chicka.
Oh, like a train. Do a yes. train.
That's different.
Yes. The lightning. So then I should call it like
the lightning express.
Yes. Oh, you're so good at branding. Oh, you're so good at it.
Chief creative. Go ahead. Go.
Yes. Okay. Chuck Santoro, lightning express round. Okay. Are you ready? Joey, 45 seconds on the clock. What is your favorite moment in the event process?
When House to Half show starts.
What is something you wish you didn't have to do?
Take 15-minute breaks when I'm in the middle of directing something.
What was the name of the guy who sent me the roses?
Not Jason Chayette.
We can't name names.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you just asked me what's
the name. Oh, no, okay. Yeah, you're right.
What's the guy?
We can talk about Chayette. It's fine. No, Jason Chayette never sent me anything. And I hope he listens to this podcast.
Oh,
okay.
God, why?
I have a
Jim
lot of.
Sirocco. No.
No.
I'm kidding.
Okay. Okay. Wait. We're going back. I got to say.
I'm waiting 21 seconds, Joey.
Oh, never mind. Wait. Let's put some time back on the clock. We're just going to skip. I'm going to go move on and we'll go to number four. Ready?
Fast.
Got to redo it. All right. Moving on. Who do you consider your mentor?
I have two, John Rafalski and Jen Swidler.
What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
Oh, I try to work out, but not every day. Walk my dog is actually helps now, honestly.
Okay. Do you celebrate birthdays?
No. I just celebrated Hanukkah.
What's the event you'd love to get a piece of?
The opening ceremony of the Olympics or Super Bowl halftime.
Oh, yes. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
I'd be on a call with T-Mobile.
Right. What do you think that Nana and Grandma Faye, who, by the way, are our grandmothers, are discussing in heaven right now?
What's better, a latke or a meatball?
Yes, congratulations, Chuck Santoro. You have won our Lightning Express round.
What do I get?
I don't know. I think it was way more than 45 seconds, but it was awesome. Okay. It was awesome. Whew, this has been a journey.
What a journey, what a ride.
Maybe
you should end it with that all the time, with you singing that. You're the best. You're the best singer. You should sing, not me.
Aww.
I was subpar. Subpar singer. I'm the funny one. Can't sing. I'm just funny. Carrie can do it all. You can even dance. You were like the true triple threat.
All right.
Okay.
I cannot roll my R's. That is the one skill that I wish I had. Can't do it.
Rolling bridges.
No, I like to fake it. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Like, you just seen me in West Side Story. It was terrible. Okay.
Just seeing you in West Side Story. Let's just talk about that. Inappropriate.
That was the summer that you were at Busch Gardens.
Right. But didn't you play?
Amy D. Forbes was in it. Amy Forbes was in it. Shannon Wallman was Anita. And I was Rosalia. Right.
Because the two
of you. Two Jewish women.
I was just going to say. The two of you should have been in Fiddler, but not.
Yeah.
No. Have you done Fiddler?
I have never in my life done Fiddler. You know who has?
Gina Lamparella.
My Goyish husband and Gina Lamparella.
I mean,
right.
Listen, Gina Lamparella she just did the Carolina Change, and you know, she does.
Yes, she's all. She is everything. We are bringing it home. The end of the very first episode of
Speaking of Events. You can use that as a gif. Speaking of events. With Carrie Jill. Hi, welcome to Speaking of Events with Carrie Garbus. Did you drop the Jill totally?
Yes. For business, yes. And I'll tell you why.
Julia K, dropped the K of Julia K. Murney. I like the K and I like the Jill. Why no Jill?
I love the Jill, and a lot of people call. Oh, Dean and I talked about this morning, that you probably talk about me and say Carrie Jill. Because once I started working with business professionals, and I had Carrie Jill Garbus, because that's my equity name, and that's my name, and that's who most people, non-Ovation related people, know me as. Every day, multiple times a day, I was getting referred to as Kelly, because I think they were taking the Carrie and the Jill and like morphing it together. And I got sick of it. I think 4 years in, I was like, I'm done. I'm dropping the Jill, forget it.
Oh.
Yeah, but you can still say it. It can still be precious for us.
I do Julia K. Murney, and I know she got rid of the K.
Oh.
Anyway.
Okay.
All right.
Chuck.
Carrie Jill. Carrie, whatever your name is, version on garbage.
Nope.
You never did that, right?
No. Well, no, I didn't.
It's a lovely name.
It is a lovely name, and my husband and my child have it.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. Chuck, where can people, what?
You don't have it on anything?
No, I didn't like, no, I didn't change it, hyphenate it, nothing.
Nothing.
I don't know. I honestly didn't want to do the work. It sounded like a pain.
Carrie Bergeron. It just has a pretty name. It's not like, Schlump. It's a pretty name.
It is. It's a beautiful name.
Anyway. Chuck,
where can people find you? Like, where can I find, I know where to find you, but if people want to get in touch with you.
You
like
can where go can- to my LinkedIn.
Ooh.
At Chuck's, I don't know what that is. Proscenium, or if you want to find out about Proscenium, go to proscenium.com. And you could also hear the Carrie podcast on our podcast section on that. That's the best. Yeah, LinkedIn with me.
LinkedIn, connect on the LinkedIn. Chuck Santoro, proscenium.com. Mm-hmm.
Yep. .com.
.com. Well, I don't think that saying thank you is going to cover this past time together, because I loved it. I loved it. If anybody has gotten this far to listen to us,
Good luck. Congratulations. You deserve a treat.
You do deserve a treat. And you guess what?
A latke from Grandma.
Or a meatball.
Or a meatball from Nanny.
That's right. That's right. And guess what? Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for joining me. This was delightful. I adore you. Thank you to any listeners that have hung on this long. And if you like events, if you love events, if you loathe events, just tell someone about this podcast. Doesn't matter how you feel about it.
And if you really want an amazing event, hire Proscenium and Ovation to make your speakers shine.
Ooh, I like it. Thank you. This was amazing.
And lovely seeing you and your magenta top.
That could be a thing. I'm not sure. We will see. Hopefully we'll have some people see me, listen to me next time. We'll see. And whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events.
Bye-bye.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get Ovation.